You know, the idea of being uncomfortable happens a lot of times in life. I'm going to try to say a word today, and I've been practicing, and I get it messed up every now and then, but we're going to give it a go. What would you say if I told you that there's an apocalyptic event during a wedding ceremony? As you noticed, the word was apocalyptic. I don't know if I said it right or not, but you guys hopefully know what I mean. I'm not talking about the whole ceremony being destroyed by Bridezilla. Have you ever seen them commercials? Those Bridezilla commercials of how crazy it can get sometimes. But what I want to say about that, it's the idea that something amazing is going to happen in that ceremony. And I think sometimes when you and I get to anticipating something and we just want it so bad, and then all of a sudden it makes us feel uncomfortable because we get so anxious about it. And when we feel anxious, you know, it can really kind of start to wear on us a little bit. And we're going to look today how the uncertainty of a future event can make us feel uncomfortable. Scripture we're going to look at today is found in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 9. It says, "Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We thank you for the anointing that rests upon me, Lord, that the gift you put in me, I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I thank you for words that both pierce and penetrate. I thank you for the Holy Spirit being the teacher here today to reveal to us the things that we need to know. I thank you that who the Son has set free is free indeed. Lord, we don't want to be bound up, but Lord, we want to be released in Jesus' name to be all that you've called us to be. And we give you praise, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to wrap up this series today, and we're going to look first point is about how the story ends. Now, how many here like surprises, but you don't like to be surprised? I think there's some people like that, right? We kind of like surprises, but yet we get mad when sometimes people surprise us because, you know, maybe it makes us feel uncomfortable and just the way it kind of goes. Now, the unknown in life can make us feel uncomfortable. We have different ages of people here today. Some of you are just starting out in your pilgrimage of life, and some of us are getting a little farther along in our journey, and you think about the future, you think about retirement, you think about all the things going on in life, and then, you know, as a Christian, I think sometimes we think about heaven. What's heaven going to be like? What does the future hold for me in the kingdom of God? You know, where will I fit in God's kingdom? You know, are we all just kind of identical up there, equal? Or is there a pecking order? You know, I don't know, maybe you don't think about that stuff, but you kind of wonder about some things. And we're not going to discuss all that today, but I just want to get us to the point where, you know, sometimes we can feel uncomfortable because of those anxious thoughts. Now, how many likes to know maybe when you were pregnant, women, what the sex of the baby is? And I think the husband, now I personally like to know. You know, some people want to be surprised. And, you know, I personally enjoy knowing. I like to plan and maybe get the right color stuff, you know what I'm saying? I don't believe in that new thing they got where it's not a boy or a girl. You know, I believe God made you boy or girl, and that's just the way it is, and we need to roll with it, you know? But them crazy gender reveals that we see on TV or on the internet, you know. And, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, the anticipation And I can't imagine what a mother feels like, you know, as the days kind of get going along and you're getting closer to that day of giving birth and how all that plays into it. So it's kind of amazing the process of things that you and I go through in life about the anticipation, or maybe you have maybe a health issue and you have a surgery thing coming up and you really don't know, or maybe you have a doctor's appointment. And I know some people that are very anxious about going to see the doctor about a certain issue. There's a way to fix that. Just don't go. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. That's not medical advice. No, I'm not telling you. No, I don't want to do that. Now, I feel that you and I can get sidetracked. Now, maybe you don't. Maybe you're good. But, you know, sometimes if I can take my eye off the prize, I get a little you can feel uncomfortable. You know, here's what I mean by that. You know, there's so many things trying to break our focus today. Now, maybe you don't have these things, but I think a lot of us do. Some people have work stress. You know, things you have to deal with and the people that you have to do. And maybe you have a lot of family stress going on in life. You know, maybe you have some issues going on. And like I mentioned earlier, maybe some health issues. Or maybe you have more month than money. Every now and then that happens, right? So all these things come into our life and they can make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. And, you know, we live in this world and, you know, that's why I kind of like the old James Bond, you know, when the old movie, The World Is Not Enough, because I found out in my life, this world is not enough. There is nothing in this world that can bring the security to us and the satisfaction that Jesus Christ can. And that's what drove me to the cross. And though we try to find a lot of comfort, and sometimes I think when we get distracted and we take our eye off the prize, which is eternal life with Jesus Christ, and we get focused and we get kind of wondered, and maybe you're a radical Christian and maybe you got things going on and you're just in it to win it with Jesus, but then all of a sudden along the line you just kind of wonder, I said, have I went too far? Am I too crazy for Christ? Have you ever had that one, you know, where you just think, wow, maybe, you know, I don't go out and act in the world system, and I've pulled away, I'm just serving Jesus and following Him, and, you know, I wonder, I mean, is this stuff really real? Does the book of Revelation say what it says? Well, I believe it does. But if we take our focus off of the truth of Jesus Christ and everything that He has come to give us, I think we can get off track. And it can make us feel a little bit anxious and definitely a whole lot uncomfortable. I know that when we give up on banking on the promises to come is when we get in trouble. Now, what we was looking at earlier, the idea of the apocalypse. The apocalypse. Now, when I say that word, I think a lot of us probably think disaster. How many remember the movie 2012? I watched it a little bit. I mean, it just seemed like one disaster after another. I mean, they would just, you know, take off in an airplane, if I remember right, and all of a sudden the world just opened up, or the earth opened up right under the plane. And then they would go and try to land. And then all these different disasters was just boom, boom, boom. It's just one whole movie about one disaster after another. And see, we think that's the apocalypse because that's how the Hollywood has started to market that word. But really, in the Greek, that word doesn't technically mean that. In the book of Revelation, which is called the apocalypse, it's really talking about an uncovering or revealing. And it's really talking about the revealing of Christ and what Jesus Christ came to do. And also, there's another revealing that I want to talk about that you and I are a part of. That should make us feel, you know, I guess, in a sense, really special. To me, it's when the bride of Christ is revealed. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about that, and we've talked about it before just a little bit, but we are the bride of Christ if we're the church. And it's an amazing thing because we don't really think about it, but I want us to think a little bit today about a wedding ceremony. I think a lot of us have probably been married before, and we kind of know what all that entails. And, you know, when the book of Revelation, it talks about the revealing of a special class of people. And that's you and I. That's the bride of Christ. And it talks about a great wedding feast. Now, I enjoy a good wedding feast. You know what I'm saying? I really enjoy them set-down deals. you know, where they come in and they give you a nice plate of food. I kind of think that's probably how it's going to be in heaven if we do it that way. I don't know how it's all going to roll, but I think it's going to be a real nice thing. And what happens is the idea, to be honest, of me in a dress, that bothers me. I ain't going to lie to you. You know, I don't really consider myself wearing a wedding dress, and I know we're not going to have to, because our clothes that we're going to have in heaven is going to be glory. And that's going to be amazing. And how we get it when we get our glorified body, but that's just another thing. Now, I want us to see today that God has called us to so much more, and that's my next point. The idea of more than just comfortable Christianity. Now, I've had the benefit of being in one wedding myself, and then as well as I've done a lot of weddings. Helping people, you know, in their progress of life, and two people fall in love, and you know, and then they decide they want to get married, and they go through all the premarital counseling, and you know, and all this, and then all of a sudden you got the day on the calendar, and all of a sudden that day's here, and it's a very joyous event. And what I want us to see that, you know, we are a bride, is what Jesus calls us. And we need to make ourselves ready. And I want us to think a little bit about making ourselves ready for a moment. From what I've, in the weddings I've been involved with, brides don't usually just roll out of bed and head to church to get hitched. You know what I'm saying? You know, they don't show up in a bathrobe and just walk down the aisle. There's a little more of a process of things that kind of go on when they get married. Now, what I've noticed is the fact that, you know, and I just want to just throw this out there, you know, usually, now not all brides, but a lot of them have a special dress. And, you know, they put this special dress on. And they go buy this dress, and they got to find the right dress. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, one thing that I know, back when I was a kid, now I've never heard people say this recently, but when I was a kid, you know, people used to say, well, she shouldn't wear white. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever heard that one? She shouldn't wear white. Well, I'll tell you what, with Jesus Christ, we all wear white. Because he's the one who made us clean. And we need to remember that it's by his glory of righteousness that we wear. Now, today's weddings, they can get pretty detailed. You know, how many have maybe scheduled their hairdresser? You know what I mean? I've never had to do that for a long time. But you know, they'll schedule the hairdresser, and the women will all go up, and they'll get the hair all done up just right. And you know, they maybe never have worn their hair that way before, but for this day, they want their hair just a special way. They want it to be perfect. They want it to be just right. I call it Goldilocks time. You know what I mean? It's got to be just right, because this is my day. This is the day that I give myself to somebody else. And, you know, they do their makeup, and they make sure they have the makeup all just right. And they might even wear some special jewelry. And, you know, and basically they just get all gussied up, and it's just quite an event. And, you know, then what I like to call the apocalyptic event, you know, it's not disaster, don't get me wrong, but I've stood right here, and we've done some weddings outside of the church too, but I've stood right here. And I've with the groom, I walk them in. They're usually a little bit nervous. They feel a little anxious about what's going on. A lot of people don't like to get in front of people, you know what I mean? So they kind of look to me. And, you know, at a wedding, I kind of consider myself an air traffic controller. I just kind of direct people where they go and all this stuff, you know. And, you know, so the groom and I standing right here, and we're just kind of waiting. And, you know, all the bridesmaids and the groomsmen kind of walk in. And then all of a sudden, I'm standing right here, and the groom and I are looking down the aisle, and just peeping around the corner comes the bride, and he hasn't seen her yet in that dress, and he's never seen her all gussied up like this. And I'll tell you what, I look at their face, and it's an amazing sight, the grin that usually gets on that guy's face, because that's his bride, and she's a-coming. And she's coming around that corner. And then she walks up the aisle. And then the dad gives her away and places her hand in his and said, "This is your bride." and that is a revealing. And that's kind of what it's like for us with Jesus Christ. Because we need to make ourselves ready for our groom. I can't imagine, you know, when we, you know, the Bible says that we're going to look on Jesus' face. You know, he's our groom. He's going to be so proud, so anxious to receive his church unto himself. The church that he's paid for by his own blood. And it's just so powerful, just a beautiful picture in our mind, you know, just how great a day and event it's going to be when Jesus Christ comes again and just to see his face. And, you know, but what happens before that, you know, I do know a little bit of the stress that goes on with weddings because I was in one myself. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I know in our wedding, a few people didn't do what they said they were supposed to do. And so my wife's getting all stressed out about it and everything. And I just say, hey, don't worry about it. It's all good. You know, that's not the main thing. I said, I'm the main thing. No, just kidding. I didn't say that. I said, it's all going to work out. You know, the main thing is that we're getting married and getting hitched. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to live our life together. What happens if little things, and that's what makes a wedding unique, is when the little things kind of go wrong, and just kind of helps you remember that. But what happens is that getting ready for a wedding is very uncomfortable sometimes because there's so many preparations and the things that you have to do. I've known that some people may experience, you know, some life-changing sacrifices, and that's what it's like when we get ourselves ready for Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about works of the flesh or, you know, it's not works righteousness, so don't misunderstand me because we can't work our way into heaven. But there is a process, no matter how we want to agree or not, there's a process of life change that happens when somebody surrenders their life to Christ. There has to be. There has to be a growth process. You just can't say, I've had this happen. People say, well, I just prayed a prayer and I'm going to heaven now. Glory to God, I'm going out and do what I want. No. That's not really how it works. If that's your attitude, I don't really know if you really prayed in faith. Because the process is that once you understand, you know, I am the bride of Christ and I need to make myself ready. I need to let God come in and start to change my life. And there's some uncomfortable things that you and I must go through sometimes in that process. Because we make ourselves ready from the inside out. It's not the outside in. Now, a natural bride, you know, I'll be honest, nobody I've done a wedding for is like this, but I've seen it on a movie. Some brides are ugly on the inside. They may be prettier and all get out on the outside, but boy, they're ugly on the inside. They're just meaner than a junkyard dog, you know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, just really rough. You know, I'm glad I'm not marrying her. I mean, I wouldn't last long in that deal. But see, it's with Jesus, we change from the inside out. We may be mean on the inside when we come to him, but through the process of coming to Christ and allowing him to come in by his Spirit and let the Word of God start to mold us and make us, and we give the potter the free rein of the clay, and things start to change in our life, and before you know it, we start to grow, and things start to get better. And, you know, it's just amazing the process of what God can do. And that's what a spiritual bride is really all about. And we need to be a spiritual church. Now, sad to say, but a lot of churches today have kind of went a different direction. You know, many churches have become secular entertainment centers. I watch church TV sometimes just for fun. I like to grow myself and keep feeding myself. And I heard a preacher the other day on TV said that all he had to do was to go out and hire a good worship band and just pick a day and start a church and he could draw a crowd. And I just go, my gosh. Think about it. What kind of people is he going to draw? Near as I can tell, sinners don't usually attend a church service unless you go get them. That's called evangelization. What he would do is that he would take people from another church and bring them into his church because he had the better band. And it just amazed me. That thinking that the Church of Jesus Christ, especially in America, has today. is that, you know, that's your idea. It's not really, it's not growing through reaching the lost, which Jesus Christ commanded us to do. It's growing by going and trying to attract people from another place, you know, and get them into your place. And that's just not right. Now, the old saying's true that we are to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I believe that. A lot of people don't like that. But I believe we grow by being challenged, not by being entertained. We need to be challenged at church. Challenged for growth. You know, we need to be patted every now and then, you know what I'm saying? You know, we don't want a shepherd that just uses the rod all the time, you know, beats the tar out of us. You know, but we need to be loved on. But I do believe we need to be challenged. We need to be challenged to want to grow and to want to change and to become, you know, everything that God's called us to be. And that leads me to my last point, which is talking about the blessed assurance. You know, we rest in the hope of the comfort to come. I'll be honest, you know, sometimes we go through some hard times. You know, Jesus said in the world we have tribulation. And, you know, and I believe what he said. Sometimes it's just like that. No, I don't believe our whole life is like that. If your whole life is tribulation, don't take this wrong, but it may not be the devil all the time. Maybe you're doing something wrong. Amen? Come on. It just happens. You know, sometimes we have stinking thinking or we do stupid stuff. Sometimes we need to step back and reevaluate, because I don't believe we live in tribulation all the time, especially here in America. You know, in other countries where maybe some Christians are persecuted, yeah, I can see how they would see it that way. But, you know, we don't live that way all the time. So, because we do have some good times. But it's talking about the idea, what we're looking forward to is that great marriage supper of the Lamb. And what I see from the book of Revelation, as well as some other places in Scripture, that, you know, all the races and nationalities are going to be there. And that's what I enjoy about the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not just one group, but it's really all different nationalities and people that's going to be included in this great marriage supper of the Lamb. And I like it that they call it supper in some of the translations, because I'm a country kid. You know what I mean? I call it supper. I don't call it dinner. Dinner's what you eat at noon. You know what I mean? So, that's just a little bit I enjoy. But, you know, I have been times in my life, not often, but every now and then, but have you ever been left off the wedding list? You know, it happens. Maybe somebody at work's getting married, somebody you know, or maybe casual, or maybe not that deep a friend. But all of a sudden, maybe some of your friends are saying, hey, you going to so-and-so's wedding? No, I wasn't invited. I got left out, you know, and that kind of hurts. I guess it don't bother me, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know, I've seen a few weddings in my day. It's all good. But some people, you know, it would bother. But I suppose it would bother if it was a close friend that I considered real close, you know, that was left out. And that feeling that, you know, they didn't think enough about you. Now, I know some weddings, if they do have the set-down thing, they're only so many tables. You can't afford to, you know, maybe $15, $20 a plate. And so you weren't worth $15 or $20 is what it tells me. I don't know. But, you know, that happens. But one thing about it I want to tell us today is that God won't leave us out. God's only cut is you must be born again. Everybody who's born again will be in attendance at the marriage supper of the Lamb. They will be the bride of Christ. We will be included in that great family event of when we present ourselves to our Master, our Lord and Master, our groom, Jesus Christ. And that's going to be such a celebration. You know, and what I see from it is the fact that, you know, all the uncomfortable situations that perhaps you and I have had to go through in life. You know, being a Christian can be a challenge sometimes. Now, this one don't bother me. I'm a morning person, but some people have trouble getting up out of bed in the morning. So coming to church on Sunday morning sometimes is a challenge for some. So they put themselves through that, you know. I say not all people in a church are Christian, but all Christians should go to church. You know, I believe that. If you're born again and part of the family, you need to be a part of a local body. Sometimes the challenge in being uncomfortable, some of the things we go through is, you know, saying no to your kids when they want to do stuff that all the other kids get to do. You know what I mean? They say, I want to, you know, all the other kids are doing it. Why can't I do it? Why can't I jump off the cliff? Everybody else is doing it. Why can't I go to that, you know, crazy, you know, rock concert where they cut off animals' heads and do all this weird stuff, you know, and chant to the devil? Why can't I go to that? My friend's going. But saying no to that, or maybe you're a teacher in the church and, you know, preparing your super church class or your Wednesday night class, and instead of watching TV and sacrificing that time, maybe praying for your children in your class that God touches their heart, you know, that's giving up things for Christ. Or maybe taking a turn in the nursery so you can be a blessing to mothers and helping out the body. Sometimes that can be a sacrifice. Or one that kind of challenges some people is maybe attending a small group and then opening up and sharing a part of your life story that will help you and also help those around you. Sometimes that can be a challenge. All these things. And the list goes on and on. And what I feel is that we need to embrace these uncomfortable things as we go through life, and because they make us better. Uncomfortable situations make us better. And through this series, we've covered a lot of different things. You know, having to do that uncomfortable situation with somebody or that conversation with somebody, that's a challenge. We grow in those things because it forces us to look inside ourselves and be compassionate about those around us. And it's all about taking the next step, which is our mission and vision statement. You know, when we stop growing is when we get into trouble. We need to always be taking that next step. So throughout this series, we've covered a lot of these different things. And the purpose, I hope, was not to bring a lot of pain to your life. But the purpose was to help us to be challenged so that we could grow. And I've used this illustration before, and I enjoy it. It's the effort that a baby chick exerts to get out of that egg that makes them strong enough to be able to handle the world. And it's the effort that you and I are taking to get out of our shell. Because we all live in a shell sometimes. We try to isolate ourselves from others. And it's an effort to try to come out of our shell that makes us stronger so that we don't have to be overcome, but we can overcome this world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.